silenced.
Yes.
Let hindrances be removed, oh God, and let God be glorified.
Yeah.
Father, we will know your blessing.
Thank you, Lord.
The blessing of Almighty God, which makes rich and adds no sorrow.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Somebody please give the Lord a loud clap offering. Come on, give it to him, give it to him. We serve such a great God, don't we? It's always nice to be refreshing God's presence through our praise and worship, isn't it? You know, sometimes when we have sessions of praise and worship like this, I sometimes wonder, do we need to preach the word? Because God has really inhabited, God has really come amongst us, hasn't he? And that is what we want. To feel, to know the presence of God. I'm always intrigued by that passage, you know, when Jacob was sleeping, and then the angel appeared to him and spoke to him, and he woke up and then he said, God was here and I did not know it. And I'm saying, no, that's not what I want to hear or to experience. I don't want to say that God is here and I did not know. I want to say God is here and I knew it, because he touched me, because I felt it, because it did something in my life. My prayer is that even as God is here, we will feel, we will know his presence. And he'll continue to do great things in our lives. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Please sing your Bibles with me. We're going to go straight into the Word of God. Luke chapter 22. Good to see you, Isaac. God bless you. I trust Christina and the baby are doing fine. Bless you. Luke chapter 22. I'm going to read from verse 31 to 34. And then I'm going to jump to verse 54 to verse 62. Okay. Luke 22, 31 to 34. I read. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon. Indeed, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. But he said to him, Lord, I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death. Then he said, I tell you, Peter, the rooster shall not crow this day before you will deny three times that you know me. Let's jump to verse 54. Having arrested him, they led him and brought him into the high priest's house. But Peter followed at a distance. Now when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat among them. And a certain servant girl, seeing him as he sat by the fire, looked intently at him and said, this man was also with him. But he denied him, saying, woman, I do not know him. And after a little while, another saw him and said, you also are of them. But Peter says, man, I am not. Then after about an hour had passed, another confidently affirmed, saying, surely this fellow was with him, for he is a Galilean. But Peter said, man, I do not know what you are saying. Immediately, while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. And the Lord looked, and the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. So Peter went out and wept bitterly. Verse 22 says, it's a prayer of Jesus. I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. The title of today's message is, may your faith not fail. May your faith not fail. I'm intrigued whenever I read scripture and I see a prayer that was prayed, especially, specifically by Jesus. Of course, the prayers in the Bible by great men of God, of course, they're important. But when you come across a prayer that was prayed directly, explicitly by Jesus himself, I believe it's wise for us to pay attention to it, to heed to it, to listen to what it says and know what God is saying to us. Jesus says to Peter, I have prayed for you. And the prayer was specific, that your faith will not fail. You see, we live in a time, you see, understand one thing. God doesn't waste his time in talking or saying things. When God says something, there's a purpose, a reason why he's doing it. He's not just saying anything like just to make conversation in that sense, or just to pass time. But this is the God we serve who knows the end from the beginning. Who knows what will happen tomorrow before we even step into it. Who, as I said even last year, he stepped into this year even before we got there. The I am that I am. The one who was, who is, and who is to come. So when he says something, people of God, there's a reason why he's saying it. And we would be wise, therefore, to heed to what God is saying. I have prayed for you that your faith will not fail. Now picture the scene here in the passage we've read in Luke chapter 22. This is Jesus about to be betrayed. He had had the Last Supper with his disciples. These were the 12 disciples who were closest to him. Now we know that Jesus had more than 12 disciples. For example, if you read Luke chapter 10, you know that he sent out 70 and told them to go on there and to heal the sick and raise the dead and so on and so forth. And we know in Acts chapter 1, on the day of Pentecost, the Bible tells us that the disciples were gathered and there were about 120 of them. So we know, of course, that Jesus had more than 12 disciples. But these 12 were like the ones closest to him. These are his confidants, the ones that he was with all the time. He just finished the Last Supper with them, and here he is now telling them that he's going to be betrayed. But then, here comes Peter, and he makes his bold assertion, Lord, I'm not going to leave you, I'm not going to abandon you. I'm going to go to prison with you. Even if I have to die with you, Lord, I'm going to die with you. You know, when I was a youth leader here, when I came here as a youth leader, I used to tell the young people, I would say, talk is cheap. Because we can say a lot of fancy, nice things. And Peter was there so assertive. Yes, Lord, I'm never going to leave you. Be with you all the time. And Jesus looks at him and says, Peter, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. Now, maybe that would have been off-putting to Peter, or he would have been surprised. Remember that this is the Peter who, when Jesus came to his disciples, he said to them, who do people think that I am? And they say, some of them say Elijah, one of the prophets, or a great person, a famous person, whatever it is, you know. They said all sorts of things. Yeah. Then Jesus said to them, who do you say that I am? Yeah. Simon Peter says, you are the Christ. Yeah. And what did Jesus say to him? Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. This is now the same Simon Peter that Jesus is praying for, that his faith will not fail. The same Simon Peter now who has denied Jesus three times. And in fact, if you read the accounts of Peter's denial in the book of Mark, it's even more graphic. Because in there, it says at one point, he began to swear that he doesn't know Jesus. Oh, I swear I don't know him. And not only that, he began to even curse. Imagine that, placing a curse upon himself, saying he doesn't know this Jesus. This is the same Jesus that he had just said, I'm going to go to prison with you. I'm going to die with you. I'm going to be with you. He's even swearing, I swear I don't know Jesus. But you think about the condition that these guys are in. This is the Jesus now, whom they had seen do miracles, do wonders, do all sorts of things. You know, we see there you go, miracle worker, promise keeper. They've seen him do miracles. They've seen him do wonders. They've seen him raise the dead. In fact, he even went to the house of Simon Peter and raised up his mother-in-law who was ill. Yeah, yeah. They had seen Jesus do great things, But now imagine this Jesus, whom they seen do great things, had now been arrested. That would have been enough to scare anyone. To make them think, well, look, if they could arrest Jesus, they could also arrest us. If they could take Jesus away, they could also take us away. But I want you to read carefully to what Jesus says to Peter as well. He said, Satan wanted to have you, to sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith will not fail. Say a couple of things there. It's interesting. Why didn't Jesus pray for Peter that Satan would not have him? No, you see, read that carefully. I have prayed for you that your faith will not fail. That was Jesus' prayer. But what Jesus said to him is that Satan wants to have you. Jesus didn't pray, look, you know what? I'm praying that Satan won't have you. He didn't say, oh, I'm praying that Satan will not sift you like wheat. No, he said, I'm praying for you that your faith will not fail. People of God, there are times when we find ourselves in situations. God doesn't always promise us that he will take us out of the situation. But what he does is that he promises us that he will see us through, that I am with you throughout all the way. It doesn't mean at times that we won't go through those tough and those rough times, but God is with us. You and I would have thought probably, yeah, Jesus would have said, oh, I'm going to pray that Satan doesn't touch you. I'm going to pray that the enemy is far away from you. No. That your faith does not fail. And as we have said here before, people of God, we said it several times, faith that is not tested is not faith. Because the Bible tells us that faith without works is dead. When you read James chapter 1, he talks about the trial of our faith. It will be tried, it will be tested. But you know what? It will be proven to be genuine. We go through things at times. We go through that period of testing. We go through that period of trial. And we stand firm in God so that, yes, the whole world will know we know the God that we serve. We know that the God we serve is faithful, that he has brought us through thick and thin. One thing that we've said here before is this. If you've never been ill, how do you know God as a healer? Think about it. If you've never been ill, how can you know God as a healer? If you've never been in need, how can you know God as a provider? If you've never been in sorrow, how can you know God as your comfort? But when we go through these situations, people of God, God with a strong, with a mighty hand, he brings us out. And then, yes, we know he's our healer, he's our provider, he's our redeemer, he's our sanctifier. He's there with us every step of the way. And we know that the God we serve is faithful. The God we serve is not just able, he's more than able. And he keeps his every word and he keeps his every promise. But in order for us to experience that, people of God, our faith in him needs to be strong. Jesus said, I have prayed for you that your faith will not fail. You see, Satan wanted to sift Peter like wheat, it says. And in fact, Bible commentators tell us that when Jesus says, Satan wanted to have you, in fact, he was referring to all the disciples, not just Peter either. Satan wanted to have you, to sift you like wheat. When people are, and I'm not a farmer here, or I'm not, agriculture was not my best subject in school, but when people put wheat through a sieve, the aim is to remove all the impurities. It's shaken. You put it in a sieve, whether you shake it with your hand or you put it into a machine and the machine shakes it, the impurities, the chaff and all that is removed. And then what you have left is the pure wheat, if you like. Satan wants to do that to the believer, to shake us, to sift us, so that everything of God falls out, falls to the ground. Everything of us in God, everything of God in us goes out the door. And that shaking could be a temptation. That shaking could be a big obstacle in your presence. That shaking could be that situation that is not going away. But the purpose of the shaking is to sift us like wheat. The purpose of the shaking is that we may depart from God. That's what the devil wants. The purpose of a shaking is to see whether or not our faith really is genuine, whether it will stand the test of time. And that's what the devil wants to do to the life of every believer. He wants to sift us, he wants to shake us. But the prayer is this, that our faith will not fail in the name of Jesus. Doesn't matter the sifting, doesn't matter the shaking, doesn't matter what he tries to do, our faith will remain strong in the name of Jesus. The circumstances in which we find ourselves, the situations in which we're in, and as we go through them as God's people, we prove that our God is good. Amen? Amen. We prove that our God is faithful. But it also shows this, people of God, and this is why we need to depend on God. It shows our humanity. It shows people of God that we need to depend more and more. As I said, this was to Peter who said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." This is now the same Peter who is denying Jesus Christ. And yes, okay, you could say, by this time, of course, the day of Pentecost hadn't yet come. They hadn't yet received the Holy Spirit. Okay, yes, I get that. But they were with Jesus. And they saw that he did. And still that happened. What this shows to us, people of God, is that in our humanity, if we don't depend upon God, in our humanity, we could be up one day, we could be down the next. We could be on the mountain rejoicing and singing and dancing, and before you know, something happens and whoosh. That is why we don't depend on our feelings or our circumstances. That's why we don't just depend on what's going on today, how much is in the bank accounts, but we depend on our God. Because that is the one thing we have who never changes. He never ever changes. Your bank account could be £1,000 today. Tomorrow it could be £1,000 overdrawn. But not with our God. And people, if ever in this journey, in this life of ours, if ever we are to succeed and we are to prevail, the only way we're ever going to do it is by focusing on our God. He calls us and he tells us, of course, that we go through trials. And you know what? The experiences that we go through, the trials that we go through, are used by God to build us up. Yeah. Remember, all things work together for good for those who love Jesus Christ. All things, not just the good things, but even the bad things. We go through these experiences to build up our faith, to prove, yes, that we are children of God and that God loves us, he cares for us, and he's with us all the time. That is why we stay clear of people who always tell you, come to Christ and you never have any problems. Come to Christ and you always have a jolly time. Come to Christ and everything will be A-okay. That's why we've got to be careful, people of God. Listen, I'm not preaching a message of doom and gloom. Yeah. On the contrary, I believe I'm preaching a message of us depending on God. That it is the joy of Christ inside us that keeps us going every step of the way. It says of Jesus Christ, who for the joy that was in him, you know, he despised the cross. Sorry, he was there, he focused, he was sat at the right hand of God. He went through all that suffering, all that shame, all that pain. Why? Because of the joy that was in him. It wasn't because it was a nice thing to go through, people of God. It wasn't because in his humanity he didn't want to go through it. But he knew what the end was. And my prayer, it's interesting that Pastor Brian prayed that God should open our eyes. My prayer is that God will open our eyes, because when he does that, when he opens our eyes, and when we know what the end is, we know that the end is victory. We know that the end is success. We know that the end is joy. We know that the end is peace. It might seem right now that we're going through a dark tunnel, and we might not understand what is going on. But when God opens our eyes, and we see what he's doing, and we see the victory at the end, that, I believe, in Jesus' name, will keep us going. Amen. That will keep us plodding every step of the way. Amen. Elisha was with his servants, and the enemy came to arrest them. And all the servant could see is all the horses and chariots of the enemy. And then The servants of Elisha said to him, "Alas, master, what shall we do?" Elisha prayed for his servant and said, "Lord, open his eyes." When his eyes were opened, he saw chariots all around them. May God open our eyes. It's a serious prayer. I believe that we need to keep on praying for ourselves, people of God. Jeffrey, can you put up that verse, please, that I asked you to, those three verses. It's important for us that we know that God is preparing us. Thank you. Let me read these three verses for us. And I want to read it to actually make a point, to make a deliberate point. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God. Note this verse 5. Who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Who are kept by the power of God through faith? Now tell me, if we are kept by the power of God through faith, if our faith fails, what's going to happen? You are kept by the power of God through faith. And we know that faith without works is dead. We know that it is impossible. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. I know we've said it here a bellyful of times, but sometimes it's still worth repeating that message over and over again for us to understand what God is saying. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And I believe for that reason, people of God, it was so important for Jesus, therefore, to pray that prayer for Peter that his faith doesn't fail. Because you know what? If his faith had failed, that would have been it. He would not have been able to do the great things that he did. He would not have been able to trust God like he did. He would not have been able to walk in the presence of God as he did if his faith had failed. And therefore, it's so important for us, people of God, that we understand and we know the reason why our faith should not fail. We are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation. Ready to be revealed. God has saved us. God has blessed us. God has commissioned us to do great things for him. But what I see in God, as I said, as we've read, Peter denied Jesus 3 times. But what I thank God for is that was not the end of Peter. It says there, yes, that after he denied Jesus, when the rooster crowed, he went out and wept bitterly. He must have really been ashamed of himself and really sad about what he had done after talking all that talk. He wept bitterly. But when Jesus prayed for him, afterwards, what did Jesus say? He says, when you return to me, strengthen your brethren. You see, Jesus knew that Peter would mess up. Jesus knew that Peter would stray away, but Jesus also knew that Peter would come back. And I thank God that there's restoration in his name. I thank God that there is salvation in his name. I thank God that the prodigal son has every chance to come back. I thank God that this is the God we serve who says, he who comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. And I bless God for that you are not a reject. You might have messed up. You might have done things that you shouldn't have done. You might have behaved like Peter. But I thank God that there's still a way out for you, people of God. Don't write yourself off. Peter was not written off. Even though he denied Jesus 3 times, even though he swore and cursed, he was not written off. So if he wasn't written off, don't write yourself off. Jesus says, when you return to me, strengthen your brethren. And when you read the book of Acts, you see that Peter, in effect, behaved like the spokesperson for the apostles. In Acts chapter 1, verse 5, for example, when they were choosing the successor for Judas after he committed suicide, it was Peter who stood up to, if you like, coordinate and to organize the person who should replace Judas. In chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, after the Holy Spirit came, it was Peter who stood up and said, look, you know what? We're not drunk. They thought they were drunk as they were speaking in tongues and Spirit gave them utterance. But Peter was the one who stood up to tell them, look, we're not drunk. In Acts chapter 3, when Peter and John were going to the temple to pray and they had healed that man who was lame, it was Peter who stood up and preached to the people to tell them, it's not us who heal this man, it's Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 4, Peter addressed the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin was, if you like, the council of Jews, of the leadership of the Jews. The high priest was, if you like, the person in charge. Peter was the one who addressed that council because they were accusing them of doing all sorts of works that they were not happy with. In Acts chapter 5, Peter was the one who rebuked Ananias and Sapphira for lying to the Holy Spirit. What we see is Peter, the life of Peter, him being strengthened now, and if you like, taking leadership role and being an example, therefore, to the other apostles. Jesus said, when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. And that's exactly what we see Peter doing throughout the book of Acts. But we see also, too, therefore, the great things that Peter and the other apostles did through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, if Peter's faith had failed, tell me, do you think he would have been able to do all these things that he did that we see recorded in the book of Acts? He probably would have felt depressed and ashamed and what have you. No, but God restored him. God restored him, amen? And our God is the God who restores lives, who restores situations, who brings people back. Can these dry bones live? Well, yes, they can. And we say they can live. Why? In the name of Jesus. Yes, dry bones can live. And even if you see yourself as a reject, if you see yourself as someone like Peter who didn't want to have anything to do with Jesus, I want to tell you this. Whoever you are, just as God used Peter to do great things, God too could also use you to do great things. You may be the one denying Jesus right now, ashamed of him right now, but tomorrow you could easily be the one who's boldly proclaiming the name of Jesus without any shame, without any hindrance. It's interesting how this Peter, here he was denying Jesus, yet then, the book of Acts, when they told him, don't talk about Jesus anymore, he says, you know what, no, I can't do that. We cannot but talk about him whom we've heard. Hang on. The one who denied Jesus 3 times? Yes, it's the same person. The one who swore and cursed that he did not know Jesus? Yes, it's the same person. That's right. Who's telling us that there is salvation found in no other? Oh, I did not know the man. Oh gosh, but now he's preaching him so boldly. May your faith not fail. Amen. That is the key to the people of God. Whatever the situation is that you're going through, as we started this year, as we continue this year, whatever that situation is, may your faith not fail. Amen. Amen. And if like Peter, you have drawn back, you can know a restoration, amen?
Yes.
Let's think about this, and I'm going to end soon. You think about Abraham, who's commonly called or referred to as the father of faith, who believed Jesus. He believed God, even though his wife, as the Bible tells us, he did not consider the deadness of Sarah's womb. He had faith in God. He glorified God and believed that God could do it. Now imagine if he did not have faith in God. If he did not believe God, what would the outcome have been? When you read Hebrews chapter 11, and you read about the heroes of faith, the champions of faith, and all the stuff that they did, all the exploits that they did. Imagine if they did not have faith in God. What would have happened? People, if there's one thing you cannot let go of, it is your faith. If there's one thing you cannot let go of, amen, it is your faith. And if Jesus, as I said earlier on, if Jesus prayed that prayer, may your faith not fail. I believe it's important for us as God's people to pray that prayer for ourselves as well. God, as you pray for Peter, pray for me.
Yeah.
That my faith too will not fail. Help me, O God, that I will not deny you. even when the situation seems so tricky, seems so topsy-turvy. Even when the enemy is trying to shake me and sift me, we're going to stand strong in God. We are a people of victory. We're a people of purpose. We're a people that we know where we're going. Why? Because our God is with us. Even if at times we don't know how we're going to get there, we know our destination. We are heaven bound. Amen. Amen. Goodness, that sounds like a question. We are heaven bound. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, I don't know about you. I am heaven bound. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Brian. We know where we're going, even if at times we don't know how we're going to get there. Our destination is heaven.
Amen.
We should be able to say, like the Apostle Paul did, I've fought the good fights. I've kept the faith. And yet, when the time comes to us, I'll finish the race. And what's laid out for us is a crown of righteousness. That's what I'm looking forward to, people of God, that the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to us. That is where we're heading, people of God. That's where we're going to. But as we know, the enemy doesn't want us to get there. And that's why at times things are thrown at us. But in his name, people, we have the victory. My prayer for each and every one of us is that we will live in that victory that Jesus brought for us. We will go in it day in and day out. And our faith will remain strong in him. Rather than our faith failing, it will grow stronger in the name of Jesus. Even if the enemy tries to sift us, he will not prevail.
Amen.
Oh, they will try. The enemy will try. Let me read this. I was turn with me to Isaiah chapter 7. I think it's Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 7. I know I'm digressing. This is one of the things they say preachers shouldn't do. If those who taught me how to preach were here, they'll probably tell me off. But thank God they're not there for. Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 7 says this. Thus says the Lord God, it shall not stand, nor shall it come to pass. This was one of the verses that we, I was at the Romford Assembly for the Watch Night service, and this is one of the verses they used when we were praying. And it just kept on ringing in my mind ever since we're praying, ever since we actually made that prayer. It shall not stand, nor shall it come to pass. Whatever the enemy has planned for you, it shall not stand in the name of Jesus. The enemy wants to sift you that your faith will fail. It will not happen in Jesus' name. He's going to try and bring things your way that will cause you to want to draw back. It will not happen in the name of Jesus. He might try, but he won't succeed. People, my prayer is this, that this year, 2020, we will live victorious lives. Not just talking the talk. As I said earlier on, talk is cheap. Not just talking the talk, but walking the walk as well. Walking in victory, walking in revelation, walking in power, walking in faith, doing great exploits for God. That is the people who we are this year in the name of Jesus. As our faith is strengthened in him, as the Holy Spirit takes his place in our lives, as we therefore move in the power of God, we will know greatness this year in Jesus' name. You know, Pastor Brian, thank you for leaders and thank you for talking about greatness. You know, that phrase, that word greatness has been something that's been on my mind for a while. The greatness of our God. Everything about him is great. His power, his love, his mercy, his blessing. You see, everything you can think about our God is great. This year, we will know greatness in the name of Jesus. As we walk as people of faith, as we walk in that faith, we will know greatness in our lives in Jesus' name.
Amen.
And therefore, whatever the enemy throws at us, though he tries, let's rise our feet, please, people of God. Though he tries, he will never, never, ever prevail. It shall not come to pass, amen? It will not happen because our God is with us. Because our God has prayed for us. We are going to stand strong in him, amen? In the name of Jesus. I have prayed for you that your faith will not fail. Come on, why don't you just raise your hands to God right now? And you pray for yourself, Lord Father, may my faith not fail in the name of Jesus. Tell him, Lord, as you pray for Peter, pray for me. As you touch Peter, Lord, touch me. I have prayed for you that your faith will not fail.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God.
In God, none of us is a failure. In God, none of us is a reject. Lord, as the apostles of old knew strength after the Holy Spirit came upon them, let we, your people, know strength as well in Jesus' name. Lord, they move from victory to victory, from blessing to blessing in you. So shall it be for us, O God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, there'll be no drawing back. There'll be no drawing back, O God. Rather, there'll be victory. There'll be victory upon victory, blessing upon blessing. In the name of Jesus. Just raise your hands with me to God, please. Thank you, Lord. Just raise your hands if you can. Father, for every hand raised, O God, I pray your victory, your blessing, your power in the name of Jesus. Children as well, you too, raise your hands. Come on, children, raise your hands as well. I pray, Lord, your victory, your blessing in the name of Jesus. Our faith will not fail, O God. Thank you, Lord, that we will know strength from you. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we depend on you. Lord, we look to you. Lord, we focus on you. And we decree, O God, that our faith will not fail in the name of Jesus. Father, thank you that you have a purpose, you have a plan for us. That purpose, that plan, it will come to pass. So shall it be in the name of Jesus. We seal this prayer in the blood of Jesus. And we bless you, O God, for what you have done, what you are doing, and even that which you are yet to do in our lives, which we have not yet seen. We still say thank you, Lord, because you are indeed a great and almighty God. Blessed be your name. In Jesus' name we pray. With our eyes still closed, please. Our eyes still closed. I want to give a chance now to anyone who wants to give their lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. We've been speaking about Jesus. Is there anyone here who wants to know Jesus? Just raise your hand if that's you. If you want to come into a relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, just raise your hands right now. I will not prolong this. Is there anyone? Right, for all Christians here, praise God.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Please be seated for a little while.